Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's gospel, we have these terrible words of condemnation of our Lord on that evil generation of whom he was among. The generation was evil because they didn't accept the incredible signs that our Lord was already working, all of his miracles, and they continued to ask for a new sign, a sign from heaven. And our Lord answers them that no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. We read from Cornelius Alapide's commentary. He says, "But for the unbelieving and false accusers, nothing is sufficient. And if one thing be granted, they ask as a subterfuge another and another. But although he had shown such a sign in heaven, they would immediately have sought subterfuge and would have required some other sign. For this is the disposition of all curious and cavilling persons, especially infidels and heretics. It is those who don't want to believe will never believe, no matter how many signs are given it." And our Lord pronounces these words of condemnation because of the great things that were given to them, they are more guilty. And so he goes on to say how Jonah and the Queen of the South are going to condemn that generation because they have a greater than Jonah among them. Cornelius Alapide records this comparison that the fathers of the church have made between Jonah and our Lord. "For Jonah was a prophet and a servant. Christ is the Messiah and the Lord. Jonah remaining alive in the fish, alive came forth. Christ rose again from death and the grave and restored to life came forth. Jonah preached unwillingly, Christ of his own accord. Jonah was a foreigner among the Ninevites. Christ was of the same race as the Jews. Jonah threatened the destruction of Nineveh. Christ promised the kingdom of heaven. Jonah did no miracle. Christ did very many. All the prophets prophesied of Christ, none of Jonah. Jonah cried aloud, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Christ cried by his apostles, yet 40 years and Jerusalem shall be destroyed by Titus." That refers to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Then we go on to the Queen of the South, right? The Queen of Sheba. She went to visit Solomon and all of his wisdom, and she was impressed and moved. Again, Cornelius Alapide says, "The woman," he says, "was a Gentile not brought up in God's discipline, but immersed in the business of a great empire. Yet she was attracted by the fame of Solomon's wisdom and undertook a most difficult journey from the remotest parts of the earth to Jerusalem that she might make trial of his wisdom. The wisdom she wondered at above measure and received Solomon's counsel, although he only discoursed concerning earthly things. But the Jews, the scholars of the divine law, would not receive Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the only teacher of the mysteries of eternal salvation, which had been hid from the ages and generations. When he offered himself to them, and he asked and invited them to come to him. Yes, they altogether rejected him, although he gave them the most wonderful sign of the resurrection. How much, therefore, did the Queen of Sheba excel the Jews, and with what justice and with what power will she, in the day of judgment, rebuke them to their face for their obstinate ingratitude, unbelief, and disobedience to Christ. The same reasoning will apply to the Ninevites." And then Cornelius Alapide goes on to admonish Christians in general and religious in particular, right? Because we're all going to be judged by the graces we received. He who has been given much, much will be required. And you see, that's what our Lord is talking about here. That evil generation had been given the maximum, the word of God incarnate among them, speaking words of wisdom and truth, working great signs. And so they will be found more guilty than the folks of Nineveh and the Queen of Sheba. And so he says the same thing with regard to Christians, but specifically priests and religious who have been given special graces. He says, therefore, let priests, religious, and others who are abundantly supplied with God's grace take heed that they use it rightly and diligently. For otherwise, the more they have received, the more severely will they be punished. Yes, in the day of judgment, laymen will triumph over them, even as heathens and Turks will upbraid bad Christians. Because if they had their graces, they would have lived far more holily and religiously. And this was the holy fear that Saint Francis had, right? If any other sinner received the graces that he received, he said, he would have loved God much more than I. And so we need to really strive and be attentive day by day, not to neglect the lights and graces that God gives us, but to cooperate faithfully, generously, and perseveringly to the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.